You know, the Lord is so kind and so good to us, always blessing and helping us. We've been talking about some rather deep things as of late, and sometimes we shy away from the deep mysteries of God because I feel that it's not God's pleasure for us to talk about them, and that some people don't understand the mysteries of Christ. We've been taught in the past that the things of God are so simple that when we're told about the deep things of God, we have a tendency to feel like there's no such thing. Whereas the Holy Scripture tells us that great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. Though it does say the plan of salvation is simple, Jude and the others in their writing, they tell us that we should not be turned away from the simplicity of the gospel, which is in Christ. When it comes to a born-again experience, it's very simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But when it comes to the edification of the gospel, the growing up into the fullness of God, getting ready for the translation of the church, that is to bring a group of people into the place to where they will not die but bypass the grave, then it's a different subject, because the Bible said great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul defines some of this by speaking after this manner: behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, from mortality to immortality, from corruptible to incorruptible. For the last trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be changed, and then caught up to meet him in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. I really love the wonderful mysteries of God. I love the mysteries of God because it is so rich, so wonderful to be able to wade out into the deep, deep, wonderful things of the Spirit, to fill my heart with adventure, and to search after the glorious, wonderful things of Christ. My heart is thrilled beyond measure. All through the day, all through my lifetime, I have encountered the most marvelous experience going out into the wonderful great beyond and enjoying the glorious, wonderful liberties of the sons of God. I'm so thankful. My heart is enlarged toward you, and I long so much, so many times, to share those wonderful things that God has given me. Whereas in part we are allowed to share some of them, but we still don't get to share the way that we would like to share with you. If you've got your Bibles, we'll turn over to the book of Revelation and talk with you just a little bit. There is some things that I have on my heart that I'd like to make mention of, if I could. And perhaps the Lord will allow us to, maybe he won't. A lot of times I make mention of something, or I discuss something confidentially. That is to say, with the brotherhood, that I don't get to say in church. The reason for that is because the church a lot of times cannot receive things that I confidentially can tell the brotherhood. Like Jesus with his disciples, many times he said things when he was alone with his disciples that he did not say in public. He would say very simple things many times to those that came to his meeting as he preached the gospel. Whereas a few parables here and there, but many times he would expound the parables, explain the parables, and go into a little greater depths when it come to the apostolic following. If you've got your Bibles, turn over to the book of Revelation, the 11th chapter. We've read this a number of times, but I want to read a little of it again if I can. We've kind of orbited around the thought of the last trump. Maybe that seems like a foreign subject to some of you, but the way that I see the end approaching, and at the speed that I see it coming, I would say that it was pretty much in line to talk about the last trump. I feel like we're nearing the last trump. And as I said the other night, there is a little explanation that goes along with the last trump, whereas in few words we said something about it the other night. And from time to time we try to refresh your minds on it as we bring out new things for your treasure chest. You know, the Bible said that a good man bringeth forth old and new. Old and new, whereas we bring back some that we've taught you to refresh your minds that we might add the new to it, that you might be able to receive it. So then let's turn to the book of Revelation, the 11th chapter, and let's read again a little bit from the 11th chapter. The 14th verse, the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, which John called the revelation of Jesus Christ. Before we read this, I want to refer you back to the beginning of it. Reminder again, many people ask us why that we talk about the revelation of Jesus Christ. The reason is because that is what the Lord sent to mankind. Chapter 1, the first chapter, the first verse, it reads, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." There's a special blessing spoken of here to those that hear this prophecy and that keep these things that are herein. All right, in the book of Revelation, the 11th chapter, the 14th verse, "The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindred and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Again, we find in the 15th verse that the last trumpet sounded. And when we say the last trump, we are speaking here of the last trump of the seven trumpets of the seven angels of the book of Revelation, where the Bible speaks of the seven angels preparing to sound. The seven trumpets sounded, five sounded, then there was a voice that said, whoa, 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 by reason of the last three trumpets that are to sound. And so then the last three trumpets sounded. And the last three trumpets is referred to as the three woes of the book of Revelation. When two of these trumpets had sounded, two woes came to pass, and then there was a divine intervention from heaven. The angel of God came down and stood upon the land and upon the sea, and the last trumpet afterwards sounded, not before seven thunders had uttered their voices. Whereas the angel said to John, that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God should be finished, in that John was not allowed to write down the mystery of the thunders. We spoke the other night saying that the seventh angel sounded in Revelation 15 at 11:15, and when he sounded, there was war in heaven. There was thunderings and there was lightning. There was a great war that took place in the elements. The Bible said that when the trumpet sounded, John looked away to heaven and he saw this great wonder of a woman that was standing there with her feet upon the moon, clothed with the sun, 12 stars over her head. She was in travail crying to be delivered. And the Bible says that the red dragon was waiting for the birth of the child, that he might devour the child so soon as the child was born. But just as soon as the child was born, the Bible said that God reached down and caught him up to the throne. Then the red dragon was cast out of heaven as war took place in heaven, and the woman fled into a wilderness where she had a place prepared for 3.5 years. There's a great mystery there. A great thing took place there. We see a great spiritual revelation taking place in the middle of Daniel's week in Revelation 12. We see a great stress, a great strain. We see a great travail. And we see something about to take place when all of a sudden war breaks out in heaven. God gives us a great foresight here in the book of Revelation of what was to transpire in the day that we're living in and in the hour that we're approaching right now. You know, when you think about the war in heaven, really what you're speaking of is Calvary. For the war that took place in heaven is when Jesus died at Calvary. Jesus actually was typified as the woman hanging between heaven and earth, here travailing to bring forth the church. We could say a lot about Calvary, say a lot about what Jesus said, as I beheld Lucifer, or Satan, the red dragon, fall from heaven as lightning coming from the elements. I beheld him, Jesus said, at the time when Lucifer was defeated. But to get a clearer picture, to make it more vivid to where we can see it, we have to go back to Pentecost, look over the church ages, and be made to know that God was speaking of the rapture of the church so far as the spiritual perspective of what Christ was doing, but that he was speaking of the coming in of the Jewish nation so far as the natural perspective of it. And when we see the different perspectives of what God was trying to tell us, understanding the two and differentiating between the two as to what applies to the world and to the Jews and what applies to the church, it makes us to understand the great, wonderful mysteries and revelation of the Son of God. So then when John referred to this as the revelation of Jesus Christ, he was saying nothing less than what took place at Calvary with the death of Jesus Christ is now penned, written by John. Now then, we see it as an expose so far as a written application. But someday, God, by His Spirit, will make known to us the reality of what He did, for my words are spirit, and they are life. And in the days of the sound of the last trumpet, when the last trump shall sound, then the mysteries of God shall be finished, as He hath declared to His holy apostles and prophets. Notice one thing here that really describes the sounding of this last trumpeter. One thing that gives us a setting at the time of his sounding is the fact that the Bible said the nations were angry. And the nations were angry because the Bible said that the time of the judgment had come, and the time for judging the dead or resurrecting the dead and rewarding the saints was at hand. So then we get a beautiful picture of what the last messenger was to make known at the sounding. Here we see that the nations were angry. I said the other night, as we made an expose of some of the things, that this hour that we're living in, the nations are angry. America is angry because of what Iran has done. Russia is angry because they want to conquer the world. Iran is angry because they don't like Israel's attitude. Israel is angry because they've not been satisfied over the present situation. And on and on and on, the nations are angry simply because God said at that moment, the nations shall be angry. And the nations were angry. Why is the nations angry? Because it is the coming of the Savior. It is the end of the world. Even scientists have predicted that in the year of 82, the great conglomeration of the elements, all of these things about the alignment of the planets and the interruption of nature, they believe that even in 82, that something bad is going to happen, that the whole earth is going into convulsions, and they've decided that something is going to happen in such a way that man won't be able to cope with it, even in the year of 82. If scientists, that upon which you depend, is looking at that, and I say you that lean upon the arm of flesh, if scientists see that, then brothers and sisters, how much more should you and I, as children of God, see the approaching of the end time? Whereas we see the signs of the end and we know that it is here. The Bible said you shall know when it's nigh, even at the door. And we know that it's here. The sounding of the trumpet that will sound so loud, the song tells us, that it will wake up the dead. For the Bible said it shall come to pass that everyone that heareth his voice, even those that are asleep in the grave, they that hear his voice shall awake and come forth unto everlasting life. They that can hear, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. One of these days the dead, even the dead, shall hear the voice of God. And when the dead hear the voice of God, they shall live again. Not the wicked dead. For the Bible said the wicked dead lived not again till the 1,000 years was finished. But at the beginning, the spiritual dead, all the righteous dead, shall come forth when they hear the voice of the Son of God. What a wonderful thought tonight, to know that we're children of God and to know that God's Spirit is among us and we can feel His presence and know that God cares about us. I feel His wonderful presence here tonight.
Talking with God today, I could visualize and see the wonderful move of God here in the end time, and what God is doing, how that God is separating a people, calling a people out to get them ready for the translation, that He might indoctrinate them in such a way that they do not have to go to the grave. There is a people that God is going to indoctrinate in such a way that they won't be put in a casket, that they won't be planted in the ground, because God has a message, God has a word, God has an understanding that He said we would receive. And Paul said, it is a mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all sleep. But there is some that's going to make a change. Enoch, Paul tells us in his writing, did not have to sleep. But Enoch was translated by faith that he should not sleep. He was translated by faith that he should not see death. I say this a lot of times. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, Enoch must come back and die because it's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment, every man must die. And so they teach that he'll be one of the prophets that comes back. I say that if Enoch comes back into this world and dies, the scripture is broken. We might as well throw the Bibles away and forget about God and everything else. Because the Bible said Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And the Bible said the scriptures cannot be broken. Therefore, he was translated that he should not see death. He is not coming back, beloved friend, to see death. Now, Moses and Elijah, it's a different situation because they were under the law. But in that day, there was no law. He was justified by faith, and it's a beautiful picture of the church being the seventh from Adam. Because today, the law is folded up and laid away, and we that are on the side of Calvary, we are free from sin and from death and free from the law, just as Enoch was. And we have the opportunity to be translated by faith that we should not see death. Therefore, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed. You know, I was thinking today, I emphasize this a lot of times. Death is not the friend of God. Death is the enemy of God. Why does people cuddle death? Why do they look on death as being part of God's great program, and everybody must die so God can resurrect them? Oh, how do we look that way? Why do we think like that? I say again, as I've said before, what good is death to God? What advantage is death to God? Death does nothing but close your eyes, stops your mouth, the way you can't praise God, the way you can't see the beauties of God's creation anymore. The Bible teaches that death is God's enemy, and that God hath no pleasure in death. No pleasure in death. The Bible teaches that God doesn't even have any pleasure in the death of the wicked. He'd rather that the wicked repent and live. Therefore, death is not a friend of God. Death is the enemy of God, and the last one to be conquered. I'm glad it did say be conquered, ain't you? I'm glad that the Bible does teach that somebody, somewhere, someday, will conquer death. So then, death is God's enemy. I'm glad he said that too, because I'm on God's side. If I'm on God's side and death is God's enemy, then I know where I'm standing. I know what I can do. I can fight against death. I don't have to yield to death. I don't have to cuddle death. I don't have to look forward to death. They that hear my words and believe on him that has sent me, they have passed from death unto life. And they shall not come into condemnation. Therefore, God is letting us know that he hath no pleasure in death. You know, when you look at Eve, you look at the garden, you see the fall, then you understand how death got here. In our minds, we say, what is death? What is death? Death is separation from life. Isn't that right? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, any moron would know that. Oh, no. Maybe not the way they should know it. Death is the separation from life. And who is life? God is life. God is life. From the very moment that Adam and Eve separated themselves from God and from the great Shekinah glory of God that overshadowed them in the Garden of Eden, they died. For I said, the day that thou eatest thou art, thou shalt surely die. God wasn't being harsh with them. God was simply stating a fact. God said, Adam, from the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. Not harshly, but in disgust, as we would say. Adam, from the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. Why? Because you wouldn't listen. Because Eve wouldn't listen. Back to the dust you go. I took you out of the dust. I sought to make something great of you. I sought to make you into a god. I sought to make you something that would last throughout the endless eternity. I sought to make you a master, a god, and to give you every heart's desire. To give you youth and strength and health and riches. But Adam, you failed. You failed. You missed it, Adam. Eve, you missed it. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. Because you didn't work in harmony with me. Isn't that the way it is with the world today? Not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. But they've missed it. They'd rather have the world, having loved this present world, Paul said. They turned to the beggarly elements of this life and of this world, and they've missed it. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. But there are a people who believe in God. There are a people. The words of life, said Eve. Adam, don't eat of that tree. The day that thou eatest thou art, thou shalt surely be separated from me. For the day that you inject into your own, or into my way of life, your own thinking, the day that you go to the tree of knowledge and stir up your human reasoning, as the Bible said, lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded, or keep the mind of Christ, is life. And God said, there's no faith in that kind of thinking. That is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, Adam and Eve, you've got the good. I give you the good. You know the good side. Don't go mix the evil with it. Don't bring condemnation into your heart. If you do, you'll kill yourself. Don't eat of the poison, of the bewitching spirit. You know the little story, you've heard it, of the apple that was poisoned. The bewitching spirit. Paul said, who hath bewitched you? Oh, foolish Galatians, that ye should not eat of the tree of life. Or that is, be partakers of the tree of the understanding of God. Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Christ Jesus evidently was set forth and crucified. The tree of life. Thou mayest eat of all the trees, Adam and Eve, but of this one tree thou shalt not eat of it. For the day that thou eatest thou art, thou shalt surely die. Don't eat of that tree. Don't be partakers of evil. Don't mix darkness with light. Don't try to inject into your understanding human reasoning, but cast down imagination, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Even as David said, Father, forgive me for the intents of my heart. Let our intentions, let our reflex, let our motives, our desires, our ambitions, Let it all glorify God to love him with all of our heart, all of our strength, all of our mind, all that we are. Oh, hallelujah, until we can just swallow up the Spirit and the Spirit swallows us up. Until we're one with that great Shekinah. The day that thou eatest thereof, Adam, thou shalt surely die. And so it was. Eve slipped away. And she was enticed. You know, the writer tells us that first we're enticed. We see something and it becomes enticing. And then after that, we are drawn away from our steadfastness. Then when we're drawn away, we begin to lust. 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 Because it is the lust that draws us away. The enticement. Then there is a conception of the heart. Once we conceive of iniquity, there surely must come forth a life, which is a living death on the inside. Once there comes forth sin, then the follow-up is death. Adam and Eve, thou shalt not eat thereof. But Eve, she said, the fruit looks good. Why not? The serpent said, look at it. It's beautiful. So she was enticed. And then she lusted. And then she was drawn away from the words of life that protected her. That said, thou shalt not eat. Thou shalt not eat. But she was drawn away. And she said it was good for food. A fruit to be desired. And especially to make one wise. Ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Paul said, science, knowledge, falsely so called. Ever learning. But they never come to God's knowledge, which is the truth about the whole thing. And so then Eve, she partook. But you know, when Eve partook of that fruit, it didn't seem like nothing happened. It didn't seem like nothing took place. She was still jubilant. She was still happy. Why? Because the law of God is that the man is responsible. You know, I brought it out on tape to prove it by the law of the Old Testament. And to prove that when God created, he created the man as a living soul. And the woman is partakers of the man's soul. God didn't create woman as a living soul, but rather took woman out of the side of man for the simple reason to show the church coming out of the side of Christ. This is why that Christ Jesus could die for the entire church, saying in that day when I established the second covenant, thy sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So what did Paul say in his writing? Lo, I come in the volume of the book, as it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. Hallelujah. Saying that offerings and sacrifices thou wouldest not for sin, but a body thou hast prepared me. Thus showing or signifying, Paul said, that the first covenant is taken away and the second is established. For saying I will write my laws upon the table of their heart, and I shall no more remember their iniquities and their sins. Therefore, as Adam, Jesus could take the punishment. It wasn't until Adam become partakers, beloved friend, that something took place. Isn't that right? It wasn't until Jesus was partakers that something happened. It wasn't until then. God held back his wrath from heaven until Jesus, as partakers, inasmuch as the children were partakers of the flesh, he also partook of the same. He that knew no sin was made sin, even your sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And so it was when he took part. The wrath of God as a consuming fire came down from Calvary to get the sacrifice. And the wrath was poured out. And God said unto Adam when he partook, even though the Bible said the man was not in the transgression, but the woman, thus justifying the fact that Christ was sinless. Adam, because thou hast done this thing, Then came the darkness. Then came the sorrow. Then came the heartaches. Then is when trouble set in. I'm glad that today I've got a husband. I've got a head. I've become the bride of Christ. I'm glad that the old one's been taken away. When they beheaded John and folded up the law and laid it away, they brought Jesus in. And he that is resurrected from the dead, I'm glad today that I'm married to another, Paul said. Even Christ, which is resurrected from the dead. I'm glad that I've got a head that has not sinned against God. I'm glad that I'm married to Christ today. And he hath never sinned against the Heavenly Father. Therefore I am holy, I am pure, I am spotless, I am without spot, without blemish. For my sins and mine iniquities, God will never remember against me again. Never. It's all gone. God took it away. Why do you get so excited, Brother Pike? How can I help but get so excited? That which nothing else could do, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that we who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh might be free from this present world and the flesh, and might be free of sin by the blood atonement of the lovely Son of God. So then today Christ is expecting to receive a bride without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. What is death? Separation. The day that thou eatest thereof, Adam and Eve, thou shalt be separated from me. And the great Shekinah glory shall not overshadow thee anymore, but thou shalt die, and from the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. And so then God separated them, and the expulsion of the garden came. For he drove them out from his presence, and they could not return. For the flaming cherub sat there, keeping the ways of the garden. You know, the Bible said that God hath made his ministers a flame of fire, that they may devour the stubble, and nothing can get past them back to the garden. Nothing. They know where the garden is if they are a true minister. They know the way in, but nobody can get past that flame and sow it. They have to come by the way of Christ. Have to come by the way of the word. For I make my ministers a flame of fire. What is death? Separation from God. But though they sin the sin to bring on death, yet when Jesus walked this earth, the Son of God came to do something for us. You know, on the inside of Eve, something had happened. Something had happened. What had taken place? It's like hitting a little switch. Something had changed. Something had changed. Something had taken place. Like when, not too long ago, the Mississippi River changed its course. Have you remember when we had the revelation over in Mississippi? And I said in my heart, if God would just give an earthquake right now, that would do it. That would confirm the revelation. All of a sudden, an earthquake hit. And it changed the course of the Mississippi River. I remember that. And went all the way up to Chicago. See, something happened on the inside of Eve. Something was touched. What was it? It was her believing. She believed. Eve believed. But when that thing touched her, it turned her around. It reversed her believing, and it became fear. Instead of believing, it became fear. What was it? Fear of death. For the day that thou eatest thou shalt surely die. The word had said it. The word that spoke you into existence. The word that spoke me into existence. The same word spoke her to death. Because of her believing. For you can't believe anything but what the word says. No matter what anybody tells you, the word controls your believing. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word. And she found herself believing unto death. Believing unto death. Fear. And then Paul tells us when he discovered the revelation many years later. All of our lives we were subject to bondage because of the fear of death. Until Christ came into this world. And when Jesus came into this world, he touched that again. By the words, the personification of God as he walked this earth, the Son of God reached inside and touched that thing again. And reversed it again. And as it was back in that day, before the flood, when the water came up from the earth and watered everything, as it was in the garden, the mist that took care of everything, so it is today because the fountain is open in the house of David. Whereas in that day, I will open the fountain in the house of David. But the rain has come down from above until now. Until Calvary, until Jesus touched it and reversed it. From Noah, God had to send mercy. God had to rain mercy down from heaven on the outside. Why? To keep the body alive. That's the only way. The blood on the mercy seat. What was the casting out of the red dragon? The blood. Blood life. Blood life. A crooked, perverse generation, Jesus said. As long as there's blood on the atonement seat, the mercy seat, all generation of mankind can enter into the presence of God, live in this day of grace, be murderers, adulterers, fornicators and liars and cheats, still have a day of grace, doctors to give them shots from pains, medical aid, all of them walking in the grace of God. To the extent that God is pouring out of his grace upon all mankind as long as the blood is on the mercy seat. That means blood life can continue. And friend, as long as blood life can continue, Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. Which means the spirit of Satan and fallen angels can inhabit human bodies and dwell inside of human bodies. And so long as they can do it, there will be demons of fornication and demons of murder and demons of hatred and what all. Satan can then come into the presence of God, which is the second heaven, as the red dragon covered in the bloodstream, having stole the life of Adam. For the life is in the blood. That spirit, that wicked spirit that sitteth in the body, the temple of God, showing himself. But he is supreme in his knowledge. He is supreme in his rulership. He is the prince of this world. Showing himself to be so until the brightness of the light of the revelation of the knowledge of Christ shall destroy him with the brightness of that coming. So then, Lucifer, angel, the spirit of Satan, stole the life, the blood, the first part of God's act of life. Personified himself in a human form through Adam. Walked the earth today. He still walks the earth. Brother and sister, because of Calvary, he can be in the second heaven of grace where the woman is carrying the child. For I travail till Christ be formed within you. Christ on the inside. The woman who has her feet upon the law, which is the moon. And the woman, which is clothed with the glory and the majesty, the Shekinah light of God's glory. The woman who has the 12 apostolic applications of the stars to her understanding here. The woman who is in the second heaven. The woman which is travailing in birth to be delivered. The woman, the church, which is in the grace of God. She is travailing to be delivered. But the Bible said the moment that her child was born, though that blood life was waiting, though that educational system was waiting, though that sports world was waiting, though that field of entertainment was waiting, though the securities and desires and labor for man's belly was waiting. You know, you look at the belly, it's got a great big coil of gut on the inside, this mouth open.
The serpent lays there waiting to devour that child as soon as it was born. Isn't that right? Waiting. Waiting to get a hold of it. But the Bible says that when it was born, it was immediately caught up to the throne of God. That's one thing about the new birth on the inside. The Bible tells us that God hath right now translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. But brother, when we see the natural part of it, waiting for the redemption of the body is a beautiful thing. Here today, the Christ is already come. And if any man deny that Christ is come in the flesh, that the Holy Ghost does live in the human heart today. Within the human temple, he walks in you, talks in you. If any man deny that, he's an antichrist. So then, when we see this, we know that Christ has secretly come in as a thief in the night. Night, Paul turned my people from darkness unto light, which means from intellectual reasoning, the tree of knowledge, death, the veil. Turn my people from that. Turn them to the mind of Christ, the light of God. The eyes of the understanding being enlightened. Comprehending the heights, the depths, the width, and the length. We, in the spirit, have been stolen away. Translated into the lovely kingdom of God. The Christ has come. The mystic head has come for the mystic church. And his mystic work has been done and the world hasn't seen it. But now that great Jesus, not a mystic Jesus, but a flesh and bone where he said, fill of me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. That great Jesus, that body that's coming back for some human bodies. That great body that's coming to the Jew, that great natural Jew that's coming to them natural Jews to pick up his natural members. The same way that spiritual Jew Christ came to the spiritual Jew, which is the church, to pick them up. That same Jesus, that same Jesus. That's why we see, and I hope you can understand what I'm saying, the woman at Calvary in great travail. The woman pointing to the church spiritually, pointing to the Jew naturally. And there was the woman, the flesh, the feminine part. The woman hanging there between heaven and earth. The second heaven, the red dragon, the blood life, destroying, wanting to destroy him. We see a picture of it as America, the woman, in travail to bring forth her chief leader for the world. Russia! Communism! The red dragon of China, waiting to devour that great leader. The very moment that it comes forth. But there was Jesus, beloved friend, hanging at Calvary. And as he hung there at Calvary, the veil was rent in twain. The Bible said the temple of the testament of heaven was open. John said, I looked in and I saw the revelation of Jesus Christ behind the veil, behind the badge of skin. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain, for he said, destroy this temple, my body. I'll raise it up in 3 days. And they thought he talked about the natural temple of the tabernacle of Moses because they were carnal minded and didn't understand. But the great Holy Ghost came out, the great Spirit, the great covenant. The great Christ came forth. That great body. And there as the matrix was open. The firstborn was received of God. For he said every firstborn that opened the matrix. He belongeth unto God. And there the great brazen altar fire. Calvary. The evening time. Hallelujah. Where the wood was placed upon it. To never let the fire go out. God, the consuming fire, burning in his fury without end, taking the sacrifice of the lamb without spot. And the matrix was open. And when the matrix was open, the headship of the natural Jew or the man showed forth in heaven. Hallelujah. And the travail was over for the woman. The travail was over. Because when they saw his loveliness in heaven, the great angelic host
work carefully from that point to bring forth the child. From the church ages all the way down from Pentecost, the seven church ages and the sounding of the trumpeters and the church messengers and all preachers, all physicians have worked patiently with the child from the time the travail was over. They bringing forth the child, bringing forth the child until the end of the church ages. Revelation 11:15 said, and the last trumpet sounded, and the mysteries of God should be finished. And so then, when the toes appeared of the image, the little stone from heaven smote it. But the other that run parallel with it, the other that went side by side with it, that great spiritual birth of the membership of the Son of God, the church, as it was born, member after member, age after age, sounding after sounding from the mysteries of the seven great spirits that stood before God, proportionally, by measure, or unit, period after period, through time after time, until the last one was given. And then the proclamation was, in the evening time, it shall come to pass that there shall be light. Though there was light at Calvary for Jesus, and I'm the light of the world. But the woman went into the twilight sleep for the dark age. And the church fell into the dark age, the woman. Isn't that right? And the blood was spilt. Millions of people were killed. The church trampled on. But through the travail, as it moved on, the light of the evening time, what kind of light? The light shall be sevenfold. Not the sounding of one messenger. Not the sounding of the first angelic being. But every angelic being that's ever sounded, all wrapped up into one understanding of the finishing of the mysteries of godliness at the end time. At the sound of the last trump, and the child is born, for the last one sounds. And as quick as it sounds, Thessalonians' chain sets forth, and the wound of the earth opens, and out comes the dead in Christ. And the earth travails and casts forth, and those which are alive and remain, the church wall yields up. The sons of God, that many-membered body, for I am bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And at the sounding of the last trump, Thessalonians change. The child is born, and our image is changed. And that Jesus that comes for that natural Jew gets his natural members in this natural body that parallels with that natural Jew, changes to the image of the Son of God, and the child has been born, and up he goes to the throne of God in the rapture. Whereas the middle of the week brings in Israel coming up to the throne, showing what has taken place. But remember, he shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God, with the voice of the archangel. He shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a trump, with the trump of God. What is the last trump? The trump of God. I said the other night, what is the trump of God? Is it the trump of Revelation 11:15, the last of the seven? Where the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God, immediately after that sounding, the change in the woman, the travail, the child caught up. Is that what it is? Or is it the Old Testament of the two ram horns, where Israel had one to sound to gather the people, and another to sound to put them forth in battle? For he shall descend with the trump of God, which is the voice of the archangel. That's what the trump of God is. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people of their sins. The trump of God is the voice of the archangel. He shall descend. That's the last trump. And when the last trump shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him. So shall we ever be with the Lord. A lot of things I'd like to say tonight. But I say again, what is death? Death is separation from God. And what have we done? We have passed from death into life. Therefore we shall never come into condemnation. For he said, and I shall remember no more their sins and iniquity. No more will I remember it. Oh, don't that make you feel good? When you say, my God, no wonder you tell me that I can come boldly before the throne of grace. No wonder you tell me. Father, when you tell me that I don't have a spot, that I don't have a blemish, that in your sight there's no more iniquity, no more wrong with me, but I am the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, without fault before the throne. For the Bible said these are without fault before the throne of God. Then can't we believe? How can we keep from believing? For if our hearts condemn us not, then we do have a confidence in God, John said. And that which we ask of God, we know that he hears us. We know that we have it because we've convinced our heart by doing the things that please him. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Therefore, beloved, as we have had a will, let us have a performance, cleansing ourselves from all the filth of the flesh, perfecting holiness unto God in the fear of God, having our fruits unto holiness and the end of eternal life. For we have believed with him, and as many as have been baptized into him have put on Christ Jesus the garment that was tried in the flames of hell, the garment that was tried in the fire, the wedding garment. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh. Let your inner man put on this outer body to be the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God beyond the grave, having been buried in his lovely name because of the remission of sin by the shedding of the blood, his blood, and having been raised up from there in the likeness of the resurrection, not I that liveth, but having put on his body, him in the sight of God from henceforth, under the tutors, until the time of the bar mitzvah or the adoption of sonship, which is Thessalonians change. Let us grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus to the full measure of the full stature of Christ, not driven about by every wind of doctrine. For it's a good thing that the heart should be established in that in the present truth, which I believe to be the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want you to stand with me. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. The Lord loves us. The Lord is with us. The Lord is helping us. And certainly tonight, as well as every night, when we come together to enjoy the wonderful presence of God, we grow greater, we grow stronger, we grow richer. The end of the world is here. The end of the world. For ye are the people, Peter said, upon whom the ends of the world have come. The end of the world is here. How do you know? Because they've gone up in the astronauts have gone up in the little capsule. They've looked back and seen the ends of the world. They've looked back and they've saw the little circle of the globe. They've seen the end of the world. The end of the world is here. What's beyond this? What is beyond the little circle of the globe? Scientists can't tell you. The vast eternity without bottom, without sides, without top. Even from everlasting to everlasting, when you get out into space, the dark hole, where are you going? There's no bottom, there's no top, there's no end. And scientists, as I've said before, say that there's billions of stars in our galaxy alone. And outside of our galaxy, there's billions of galaxies. Therefore, where is the end? There is no end to eternity, beloved friend. Man has run his course. He has maneuvered his little ship to the ends of the earth. And he's run off of the edges. He's run off of the edges. And not knowing anything about the future, in that he's not a heavenly creature, he is bound for the pit. There's only one way down, or one way for him, and that is down. Therefore, let us find the mind of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. When you know where you're going, you know where you've been, you know who you are, and you know what you're doing, then you know that you're saved. For as the song says, I know that I am. Hallelujah. We know that we pass from death into life.
Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? The Lord is so good. How have you agreed that God is good? He is so good. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet spirit. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet, sweet spirit. Sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Can you sing it with me? For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. When he reached down his hand for me, oh, when he reached away down for me, I was lost and undone without God or his son. When he reached down his hand for me, can you sing it again? When my Savior reached down for me, when he reached way down for me, I was lost and undone without God or his son. When he reached down his hand for me. Can you slip your hands up now while they're playing on the instruments? When the Savior reached down for me, when he reached way down for me, I was lost and undone without God and his wonderful son. When he reached down for me, Jesus had to reach a long ways for me. The Bible said, he that is forgiven much, he loveth much. I love him much today because he had to forgive me for so much. For he had to reach so far down to be able to reach me. Therefore, I love him with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my strength, with all of my desire, with all of my ambition. I love Jesus. Let's just love him. Let's just love him. Let's just love him. Hallelujah. If you've never given Jesus a chance at your heart, friend, if you've never given him an opportunity to come into your life, let me invite you into the kingdom of God.
And let me give you an invitation. As Brother Taylor says to the wedding supper, let me give you the great invitation to the wonderful kingdom of God. For He loves you. You are the apple of His eye. You're the treasure of all of His desire. God loves you. While our sister stands here tonight, you know, I felt like the Lord would have us to ask you to come down here tonight. And no doubt He sent this precious sister for this reason. Would you come tonight? While they're playing, would you come? Can you sing it with me? I was lost and undone without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me. Can you sing it with me now? When my Savior reached down for me. When He reached way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me. Don't you love Jesus? Can you sing that little chorus? I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Can you sing one more time? We love Him. We love Him because He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you love Jesus tonight? If there's anything lacking in your heart tonight, do something about it. You know, the translation of God is a spirit. And God is reaching for your spirit. And God is trying to touch your spirit. For God wants to take your spirit and translate your spirit into His spirit to make it one with life. And once it's translated into the spirit of life, it is for eternally secure. And nothing can happen. Death may befall the body because the Shekinah has been lifted from Adam and Eve. But one day the millennium will come, and the Shekinah will overshadow again, and the body will be preserved for 1,000 years, as long as that period lasts, with the Shekinah, and the body will flourish. But beloved friend, whether the body can flourish or not, we are eternally in the inner man, having passed from death unto life, having been by our inner man through the Spirit translated into His Spirit, life, the marvelous kingdom of our God, waiting for the change of the body. Death is nothing to a believer. For after you have been translated into the kingdom of God by your spirit, your body only goes to sleep. A person who hath never been translated into the kingdom of God from the inner man, they die because they're cut off from the presence of God in life. But once you're translated into the kingdom of God, you pass from death unto life. Your body will only go to sleep because your spirit can never die, or that is, be cut off from God. Whereas the Bible speaks of the second death, that is the lake of fire where the spirit is cut off from God. You can never die the second death. You pass from death unto life. And the first death, after you pass from death unto life, escaping the second death, then the first death is only the sleep of the body. The body goes to sleep. For they said, Lazarus sleepeth. Paul said, behold, a mystery, we shall not all sleep. But Lazarus sleepeth, I go to awake him. I go to awake him. But you know, you can believe in this age and come to a knowledge and understanding where we'll not all even sleep. The body itself shall escape the sleep. For the Shekinah is coming back. The Shekinah is coming back. But we have the power to water from within. For when the Shekinah shall overshadow in the millennium, brother, sister, we will already have been changed from the inner man at Thessalonians trump. Therefore, our body will not need to be overshadowed. Our body will be celestial and eternal. But the Shekinah for the Jews' sake and those that will inhabit the millennium to build, to plant, the Shekinah will keep them alive as it did in the garden. Oh, what a thought. Not as Adam and Eve under the covering of the Shekinah, but we who are sons of God, who are born to the Shekinah from the inner man, that fountain opened in the house of David, we that cannot die. For I've called ye gods, for gods cannot die. And ye that be born of God, ye are gods. I say this so often, he that is born of a dog is a dog. He that is born of a man is a man. But the Bible said, ye are born of God. I've called ye gods, for ye are born of God. Therefore, ye are sons of God, ye are gods. Born to never die, for gods cannot die. Ye pass from death unto life. What a great people you are. It's no wonder Solomon said, how can I speak to so great a people? Not people as the world. For those of the world are but beasts. They perish, they die, they pass away. But beloved friend, not so with you. Ye are gods, going to be changed into immortality in your outer man, already having been changed into immortality in your inner man. Therefore, no harm can befall you. Why worry? The hour is coming when we all shall not sleep. The message is here. The trump is here. It'll be sounding. And we'll be listening. And we'll be hearing. And all that hear shall live. All that hear his voice. For it shall not be you speaking concerning the ministry, but the Heavenly Father speaking from within you. And judgment shall begin at the house of God. And whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. And whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's why ministers baptize in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. It is his blood atonement that remits sin. Buried in his likeness, resurrected in his resurrection, brought up in his likeness to eternal life, to never die again. I want you to slip your hands up with me. If you love Jesus, slip your hands up. The Bible said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Lift them up to heaven tonight while we pray for you. Father of heaven, judgment beginning at the house of God, not man speaking, but God concerned about his people. Heavenly Father, I do ask by the faith of the Son of God, faith from these people in the word of God that is spoken here tonight. Their faith in you, the word that was from the beginning of the world. Oh, Heavenly Father, remit their sins tonight and take away their sins by their faith in the spiritual word of God that came to their hearing tonight, the God of heaven who spoke to them. God, remit their sins by that faith. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we do remit it in the name of Jesus Christ, your lovely Son, Father, by their faith
in the Son of God and the blood atonement, by their faith in the Word of God. Lord, and we speak healing and deliverance to them. God, deliverance from evil spirits and powers of oppression. God, and from all kind of complex of life, that they may be not bewildered, but, oh God, be at peace. For all the paths of God are peace. And you said, he that keepeth his mind stayed upon Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. And they that make peace shall be called the children of peace, or the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Oh, Father, tonight, receive these, blessed Father, into thy kingdom, into thine hands, into thy loveliness. Oh, Heavenly Father, for we do not pray for the world, but we pray for these that thou hast given us, for we've lost none of them, Heavenly Father, but all that you've given us we shall raise up in the last day. Heavenly Father, may it be even so, that they are children, oh dear Heavenly Father, of thee and of thy kingdom. For thou art the shepherd, even the chief shepherd. When thou shalt appear, thou shalt give unto us a crown that fadeth not away. And there shall be one shepherd, and there shall be one fold, even the everlasting fold of the everlasting shepherd, the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep, even the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Father, who we are expecting to come on the scene. May it be so, Heavenly Father, even tonight. May we lift up a voice of praise in singing and in adoration unto thee tonight. I ask it in Jesus' name, to save, to forgive, to fill with the great loving Holy Ghost, the precious Holy Spirit, to seal us, Holy Father, to the day of the redemption of our body. In Jesus' name.